The following is a sermon from the Vicar at Sure Foundation, a church located in Woodside, Queens, New York, the world's most diverse community. For more information and for more audio content, go to sure-foundation.org.
The lesson for our sermon for today comes from Luke chapter 8. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell at his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torture me." For Jesus had commanded the impure spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him. And they begged Jesus repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs was feeding there on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into the pigs, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all of the people of the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone out begged to go with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. This is the gospel of the Lord. It's a story I will never forget hearing. I remember I was sitting there in a high school classroom, and one of our professors started telling us a story about a story about an experience that he had with demon possession. It was a very hot day, and he was going door to door, meeting his community. And as he got to one particular house, he went in, and he noticed that it was cold, unnaturally cold. And as he got into conversation with this lady started to tell him things that he had never told anyone, things from his childhood, things that she could never possibly know if it were not for a demon. Besides the fact that it was an 85-degree day and he walked in and he shivered, the power of this demon was real. The power of the demon in this Gerasene man all those years ago was real. But the most important thing that we learn today from this lesson, and the thing that Jesus is going to teach us today, is that the power of Jesus and the authority of Jesus over all of these demons, over all evil, is real as well. And Jesus, in a very up-close way, was about to show his disciples his power and his authority over evil. The disciples needed a moment to just take a deep breath. The disciples had just finished rowing through a storm that they thought would take their lives. They thought they would die in this storm. And Jesus had calmed it in an instant, but I'm sure that they were still happy to reach the shores and to take a deep breath, happy to let their nerves calm down a little bit and to enjoy the calm before the busyness of Jesus' ministry in the Gerasene region. But before the boat was even tied up, they saw something that would have just terrified them and put them right back in that nervous state. Because farther into shore, there was this man who was running at them, straight at their group. And he ran so fast that the moment that Jesus put his foot on the shore, this man was there in their midst, staring at Jesus fixedly. And the disciples were around, and they probably didn't know what to do. The appearance of this man would have terrified them a little bit. He had cuts all over his body, infected from stones that he was using to cut himself. His wrists were bloodied and bruised from the force that it took to break chains. And all of this was confirmed from the story that they heard later. There the disciples were, in the presence of a very real demon who was destroying this man's life. And just like all other demons, this demon had joined in the rebellion against God and was confirmed in his evil. This demon was evil. And just like the disciples, you need to know that demons can afflict people in three ways. Three ways. The first is this, that demons are capable of performing deceiving signs and wonders. They are capable of putting lies into our hearts to make people believe false doctrine, things that are apart from God. In fact, 1 Corinthians 10 even tells us that food sacrificed to idols, things sacrificed to idols, they aren't just sacrificed to nothing. They're actually sacrificed to a demon behind that idol. That's number one. Number two is that demons can afflict people physically and mentally. They can inflict people with diseases and sicknesses, both of the mind and of the body. And number three, demons afflict people spiritually. Demons want to drag people away from God's kingdom into their kingdom. Demons use anything that they possibly can to drive a wedge between you and God. It's what they do. But the most important truth about demons that I also need you to know today is that while all of this is true, Jesus has power and authority over these demons. Jesus has crushed the head of Satan, and he keeps his foot planted on those demons so that they cannot harm anyone who loves Jesus. Jesus has authority over demons, and yet there the disciples were in the presence of this demon who really was destroying this man's life. The reality of demons brings us to this truth, that we need to stay away from this very real, dark, evil power. There's a whole spiritual battleground that's happening beyond our sight, but right in front of us all the time. And because this battleground is fierce, because it's raging fiercely, they will take anything that they can to try to step into our lives. Ouija boards, tarot cards, mediums, spiritists, these are real footholds. These are things that actual demons use to enter actual people's lives. It's a real thing. This isn't a joke. And the demons will use this. They will fly to any of our weaknesses. They will use our absence from the Word of God or sins that we were planning on committing but then coming back from to enter into our lives. It's what they will try to do. And so the reality of our weakness in front of a power like this, in front of this evil power, brings us to another truth, that we need someone who has power and authority over this evil power. We need Jesus. And so there the disciples were. They were standing in this group between Jesus and this demon-possessed man. And they were probably hoping that this conversation would just end already, because at any moment they didn't know if this man would snap. But there Jesus is, comfortable. And he carries out the longest conversation that he carries out with a demon anywhere recorded in the Gospels. Three times this demon begs to Jesus, "Jesus, what do you want with me? Don't torture me. Please don't send me into the abyss." You see, this demon had power over this man when Jesus wasn't there. He could destroy and ruin this man's life. But with Jesus there, the demon cowered in fear because he already knew exactly who Jesus was. Jesus was the Son of the Most High God. Jesus was capable of punishing and doing things to this demon that the demon just shuddered about. And at the end, Jesus sent this demon out of this man as easy as flicking on a light switch to continue their destructive ways in a nearby herd of pigs. But that man who was close to Jesus, was not to be touched. That man was safe because he was with his Jesus. And I need you to know that with your Jesus, that you are safe. Jesus, because of his power and his authority over demons, he has completely crushed Satan. In this lesson, we see how he expels the demons as easily as flicking on a light switch and watching the shadows flee. He is our champion who has defeated Satan. He asks Legion's name so that we would know that it doesn't matter how big or how bad these demons were, he has power and authority over them. He controlled how long this conversation was. He controlled when and where the demons went. They were no match for him. No match. And this same power that he holds over evil, he gives to you. He puts into your hearts and into your lives. He gives this power to you because he is with you. When you walk into a room, demons cower in fear because you have Jesus in your heart. Evil flees from you because you have the power of the Most High God dwelling in your heart because Jesus is with you. And Jesus has power and authority over all evil, over all darkness. One more time, we go back to our story for today. It seemed at this point as though Satan was absolutely defeated, crushed. The unclean spirits ran away into the unclean animals and they plunged down into the water, never to be seen again. But what we see in this lesson is that while Satan isn't gripping anyone anymore by demon possession, he was gripping the crowd with fear. Fear was gripping everyone who heard about this story. There the pig tenders were. And every day was the same. Day after day, the pigs would stand there. They would sit, they would eat, and they would be calm. Nothing changed. But on that day when Jesus showed up, all of a sudden the pigs all at once rushed to a cliff without any warning, without any sign of stopping. They just plunged off the cliff. Unexplainable. And as the pig tenders walk back into the city, they see something even more unexplainable. The demon-possessed man was sitting there at Jesus' feet as calmly as the pigs normally did, day after day. These men could understand the demon's power, but they couldn't even fathom the power of the one who stood before them. They were terrified of the man before when he was demon-possessed, but they were even more terrified now, watching this man sit here calmly. They knew that Jesus had something to do with it, but they didn't fully understand it, and so they just asked him to leave. Jesus, please leave. Please go away. And one more time, this man, this demon-possessed man, runs up to Jesus, but in a whole different way. He just wants to be near Jesus. He asks him, Lord, what do you want with me now? And Jesus says, I'm going to go, but I don't need to be here to fight off Satan in this region. All that's needed is my word and my presence through my word, which you are going to carry. So go. While demon possession is very real, Satan is often, many times, he's very happy using much subtler means. And we see that a lot in America, here. He's very happy, just like he was happy to use the fear in this lesson. He's very happy to use money, a life of luxury, or our society's mindset that more in this life is what is the most important. He's happy to use these things to subtly point us away from God. He's happy to use our loneliness and our solidarity to drive a wedge between us and God. He's happy to use the shows that we watch or our conversations or the things that we scroll through to gently point us away from God. It's what he does. There's a famous book that's written by C.S. Lewis, and it's called The Screwtape Letters. And it's written as a series of letters from a senior older demon to a younger apprentice demon. And the book is all about how to corrupt mankind. There's a very famous section where the younger apprentice demon is getting all excited about all this chaotic evil that he can create, all the possession, all these great signs. But the older mentor demon simply reminds him, remember that the goal is just to have people at Satan's side on the last day. He writes this, indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. Satan was happy to use the fear of the people in this lesson, and he's happy to use other things for us as well. But as we also see in our lesson, Jesus had a plan to combat this. The word of God pushes back Satan's kingdom in a very real way. It has very real power for you and for me. In his word, we find that in our loneliness, he is there with us. This powerful Son of the Most High God is there with us. Through his law and through his gospel, we come closer to him, we draw closer to God, and we get better at pointing out evil, at pointing out where it is so that we can shine a spotlight on it so that Satan can't hide anymore. Through his law and his gospel, our motivations are corrected, and we become more aligned with him. And through his simple word, the satanic kingdom is pushed back and pushed back. It's not in our lesson for today, but the ending of this story actually comes a bit later. Jesus returns to this same area, and this crowd who once was so fearful of Jesus, became the crowd of the feeding of the 4,000, who sat there at the feet of Jesus receiving physical food, receiving spiritual food, the same as that Gerasene man who was demon-possessed. Jesus doesn't need to be physically present. Jesus doesn't need great shows of force or flashy miracles. Jesus' simple word, Jesus' simple presence in your hearts pushes back Satan's kingdom. It advances his own kingdom. It shines a spotlight on evil so that it can't hide anymore. And because Jesus has power and authority over evil, he has cast out great demons. He has crushed the head of Satan on the cross. He will throw Satan down to the abyss on the last day, and he continues to protect you, to protect those who love Jesus to this day, right now, because he has the power and he has the authority over all evil. Amen.